It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. We are running a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors, and our guest is District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg this morning, and happy to have you here.
Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate the invite to participate when you do these series. There's a lot of value, for all the people out there.
Well, great. We think so. Now, first, can you outline District 1 for the listeners so they know what area you represent?
Sure. There's a little bit of a misconception. District 1 does include the entire city of Sonora, but it also stretches out in the county areas adjacent, going out towards Rawhide Road, so out Snell to Racetrack and back in that area. Also, a lot of people don't understand, it goes out to Columbia along Sawmill Flat Road, up Big Hill Road, and then it kind of cuts across country, comes in Phoenix Lake Road, the Meadowbrook Estates area. So it's kind of a widespread out area.
Speaking of that, I saw you recently, just a couple weeks ago, at the Sonora Christmas Tree Lighting event. A lot of fun.
Yes.
Enjoyed yourself. And you were there, and so was Sonora Mayor Mark Plummer, and both of you were speaking to the crowd. And this week, the council voted 4-1 to send the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors a resolution opposing the purchase of two properties within the city limits so that they can be used for homelessness programs. The city leaders argue that the programs are disproportionately within the city limits and that there is a lack of transparency from the county, and too much is being done behind closed doors. What is your response to that?
Okay, well, not so much closed doors. I'm chair of the homeless, committee, and obviously that's a very active, many things going on there. The city and the county have had conversations, specifically with the Columbia Way property, and this was back in July. This was not officially with the council, though, and Mayor Plummer pointed that out the other evening during their council meeting, is that, but the city manager, Melissa Eads, did come over with Rochelle Kellogg, and they met with myself and Michael Roberson and Tracy Riggs to discuss that project. And during that meeting, which was held in the county building, they were quite enthusiastic. Felt that it would be viable, that it was good to have it as a veterans project, and the city was interested in contributing financially with the county. As we move forward, there was pretty good gap, and quite honestly, we didn't hear back from the city. The last indication we had was that the city administrator was going to take it to the council to discuss, and then we didn't get a response back. The other properties, that were looked at, there was the one on Shepherd Street, which ultimately, during the board meeting, that was discounted for, good reasons. There was people that would have been displaced that lived there, and that's not a good thing. We're trying to find housing, not create more unhoused people. So, and then the other property going up on Snell, that one had not been discussed with the city specifically. Everybody is well aware that no matter where we try to initiate a project that, could be of benefit to our unhoused population, there's very often, quite a bit of resistance. And it doesn't, there doesn't seem to be any straight pattern. It, can be a rural area, a more congested area, industrial area. There's always a, certain amount of resistance. So, I'll be the, first to admit that, we probably should have had, more discussions with the city and, been, meeting about it. But on the other hand, it's not always all in the county's court either. The city could certainly, could have followed up on that one property and they could have contacted us at any time. I mean, I attend the first city council meeting each month and I'm always available, to answer the questions, but not just at that meeting, but, all the time. So, overall, there's quite a bit of homelessness in the city. With the county acquisition of the Rafferty Court property up in Soulsbyville for the Navigation Center, we're looking to use that as people would first go there and they would, you know, get stabilized, receive a lot of case management. And then as beds open up in other areas, you know, including properties we're looking at now, then they would, you know, move them down. Another thing that many people do not are not aware of is that there are other houses, you know, similar to this already within, you know, the city limits. And the city has acknowledged that they've been, you know, I don't know that they use the term good neighbors, but they have not had issues, you know, a lot of calls for service or anything like that. And the city was actively engaged looking to purchase their own property, which they did back in June of 2021, where they purchased a property on Stewart Street with the intent to house 15 homeless people in that facility. And that didn't move forward either. The city, you know, I think realized that the property was maybe in worse shape than they at first, you know, understood it to be. But the city, you know, council voted 5-0 to pass that, and they stated that they wanted to work on homelessness.
In talking to people, since I do the On the Street weekly ask a question, when I did ask about the issue of homelessness and where to place them, a lot of the answers I got that it's more homeless people in Sonora, so why are we farming them out to Jamestown, Columbia, Soulsbyville? What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it's really kind of a mixed bag. You know, a lot of people in the more rural areas, you know, they think that it should be a facility that's closer into services, you know, so that there'd be availability for medical, transportation, shopping, you know, all the things that, you know, people, you know, would like to do. The services issue, we feel that we can accomplish, you know, at facilities outside in areas that are much further away. You know, we do have, obviously, the relationship with the Tuolumne County Transportation Committee, and the city, you know, sits on that as well as the county. And, you know, so we can provide, you know, transportation. That I don't, you know, having a lot of homeless people in one area, we're not by any means going to take people off the street and put them into any of these, you know, facilities straight out. They come well, you know, looked at, you know, through our behavioral health department, you know, particularly, and look at that, you know, how we can, you know, move them and get them relief. And there's a lot of other areas that are, people don't even understand, you know, things like if somebody was homeless and had to go in the hospital, then they don't have a place to go to exiting the hospital, so for like rehabilitation. And so there's a lot of different factors that go into the thinking and location.
Where would you say right now the city and the county's relationship is?
Well, I would have thought up to, you know, this past meeting on Monday that I've made myself open to the city. I've worked with them on a number of projects. Obviously, it's a little rough right now. And understandably, like I said, the communications should have been better. But even though the city was upset about this, and, you know, that should not be the reason on its own to say, no, we don't want anything to do with this project, you know, because that's doing a disservice, you know, to the people that need help that we're trying to help. And so, you know, like I said, we, you know, back in July, we had conversations about the Columbia Way property. I wish that had moved along, you know, faster, but it didn't.
We have been speaking with District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg, and we have to take a break right now, and we'll return with more Motherlode Views following a word from our community-minded sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll be right back. Back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are running a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. And our guest today is District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg. Now, you've decided not to run for re-election.
Correct.
And tell the listeners why you decided.
So when I decided to run initially, I had very specific things that I felt could be improved upon within the county government structure. The budget was of big concern. I saw things were kind of spinning out of control. There was layoffs. There was furloughs. There was a lot of issues there. Fire protection, you know, was another area, of course, with my career with Cal Fire. And I wanted to see improvements there. and homelessness. And so when I look back over, you know, my last just about 3 years now, you know, sitting on the board, I looked at that and said, where have we gotten so far? How much has been accomplished? We made really good strides on the budget. Not enough, quite honestly. We still have problems, but we didn't lay anybody off or have the other, you know, serious repercussions that have been in the past. So I'm feeling a lot better. We do need a stable source of funding to address some of the more serious issues, which rolls right into the fire protection. We've opened up 3 additional fire stations on grant funds, but we don't have the funding to continue those operationally. So I felt that I got a lot of those things accomplished, and we're on a path to, you know, to keep them going. And quite honestly, you know, I've had some personal situations in my life, and, you know, my wife and I, you know, want to make sure that we have, you know, good time to spend. We love to travel, have been missing the travel, have not had, you know, opportunity to do so.
And then what do you believe has been your biggest accomplishment to date?
Probably the biggest one has really been in the area of fire. You know, we passed an ordinance, a vegetation management ordinance. Wasn't too popular, but it's doing the right thing to, you know, make sure that people's properties are protected to the best of our ability. A lot of efforts going on in the county that I've been involved in, everything from the Fire Safe Council to working with the Forest Service, BLM, the different fire agencies. We have a lot going on. Having those fire stations staffed, even though it was with grant funds, so we now have fully staffed engine in Columbia, a second engine in Groveland, and another engine at the what's called the Mona Vista station number 57 up in Soulsbyville area. But each of those does not have the component after the grant runs out to continue the staffing.
When does it run out?
I think it's got another year and a half on the what was called the SAFER grant. That provided a lot of funding. The Columbia, we used different funding sources, you know, to do that. And they need, Columbia doesn't have a viable fire station. And so that has to be, you know, looked at. Right now they're housed at the college. It makes the response times a little bit longer. So we're looking at that pretty seriously, looking at funding to get a fire station. Mona Vista, it's staffed, but there's no living quarters, you know, for them. So at nighttime, they go back down the hill and spend the night and then go back during the day. And Groveland, we really do need a fire station out the 120 corridor headed towards Yosemite. In the area of Rush Creek, Evergreen Lodge, the new developments that are coming online, there's going to be more, you know, call for services, so we should have a station out there. So that that area, you know, fire is really the thing that I've seen the most that we've been able to get accomplished.
Any board decision that you wished would have gone differently?
Oh, which one do you pick? No, you know, it's, I really, you know, I think, you know, there was times where it was a little bit rough going, you know, with our board. I don't think that's any secret. In recent times, you know, especially in the last year or so, a little bit longer, you know, we've really gelled, you know, together much better. But there's times, you know, we're all individuals. And so there's a lot of different things that, you know, we weigh in on. You know, one area that was really what I thought was a pretty simple area, and I still feel it needs to be done for a variety of reasons, is a simple enactment of a business license program, you know, for the county's businesses. We've got, I don't know, 2,000, 2,500. Nobody has an accurate count because we don't have that in process. And it's an at cost. You know, we're only looking at like $32 a year. That can provide a lot of benefits in other areas. You know, if there's emergencies, we have a way of contacting them. During COVID, it would have been wonderful to have, you know, that, you know, a list, you know, that we could, you know, message out to and, you know, reach out and let them know what's going on. So it's kind of a relatively minor thing, but it, you know, I just feel that I really felt that that one should have passed, that it was kind of a no-brainer.
Are you going to try to bring it up again?
Or? I would like to, absolutely.
Regarding your D1 projects, what are you working on right now for your district?
Well, you know, the biggest issue, you know, would be, you know, the homelessness.
Right.
We're doing a lot there. I chair the homelessness committee, chair the fire committee, so the two of those, you know, pretty good workload, you know, on their own. We have refinements and things that we're doing. We're going to be meeting as a committee coming up here to set goals, priorities for the committee to look at for the year 2024. Those are going to be passed forward to the Board of Supervisors January 24th, 25th, 26th. We have an upcoming board meeting to discuss priorities over the next couple of years, which we've been doing this every year. So, other project specific, I've been a lot more engaged with both the Sonora Chamber of Commerce as well as the Tuolumne County Chamber of Commerce. Events is part of it. You know, that's just relationship building, which is great. The Tuolumne County Chamber has what's called they've got different groups, you know, they've gone. And so one of them is a group of people that's governmental affairs. And so we have people that attend from Congressman McClintock's office, from State Senator Alvarado, Maria Alvarado Gill's office, Forest Service, and other people, you know, come in and out, you know, as needed, depending on the agenda. So I think those things are really going to help develop, you know, the business community, make it, you know, more solid, you know, downtown.
What are your hearing as the biggest concerns from constituents in your district?
Well, you know, surprisingly, it's not homelessness. that's up there. What I hear more is more concern for the business side of things in the community, and wanting, you know, Sonora is the hub, right? It's the county seat. The city has been doing a wonderful job promoting, along with the Sonora Chamber, along with Visit Tuolumne County, everybody working hand in hand. We are getting fabulous reach out. And as I walk up and down the streets, even midweek now, in the wintertime, not around a holiday, I'm seeing a lot of people out walking around and restaurants open and people enjoying themselves. That wasn't like that not very long ago, the whole thing with COVID and people were shuttering their doors, and it was very ugly. So I want to continue, you know, that is a high priority, because that has benefits for everybody, city, county, you know, budgets, everything. It's all encompassed. We, you know, the county lives on about 80% of our budget is tourism driven.
We need to take another break, but first we have been speaking with Tuolumne County District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg about a range of issues impacting the county. But now a word from our sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Stick with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. With me today is District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg for Tuolumne County Supervisors. And we were discussing your constituents. And one other question I wanted to ask you is, what have your constituents praised you for doing and maybe voiced opposition to?
Okay, well, on any given day, you could get both in different flavors.
Sure.
There are people that are pleased that we're working towards solutions on the homelessness. And obviously, you know, the counter to that. One of the other areas, you know, that it's been board priority to deal with is roads. The county has got terrible roads, you know, on a large scale.
Really?
Yeah. So it, I really like the idea of using, you know, fixes that can extend the life of a road. Unfortunately, we've had some issues recently with some of the chip seal project. Tuolumne Road kind of went south a little bit after it was done, and they're redoing, you know, some of the work out there. So people, you know, that was very upsetting to a lot of people. And it's not in my district, but it's definitely a countywide issue that's prevalent. And, you know, so we need to keep addressing, you know, those things that, you know, when we look at the priorities, we've done a lot to assist law enforcement. The sheriff's hiring a lot more deputies, and now we need to keep concentrating our efforts on.
Yes. Now, another thing that I've heard from a lot of Tuolumne County residents is, and this is year after year after year, when asked what is the biggest problem with Tuolumne County, and the answer I get back for On the Street is not enough livable wage jobs and affordable housing. What do you think you've done to help maybe ease those problems, or what are you working on?
And it is. You know, we've seen, you know, let's discuss housing first, because the escalating, you know, costs of housing to purchase, which ultimately will often, you know, drive the rental prices up. Then we have people that are in, you know, very unfortunate position that as those prices go up, and things like the fire insurance emergency, people getting hit with huge bills. So that's affecting housing, because people are being driven from their homes. We've got a larger segment of elderly people that are becoming homeless because they have very limited income. So you have to look at Tuolumne County. It's got a very high percentage of retired people.
Right.
And we also have a high percentage of elderly people. The last I heard from Area 12, I sit on their board, is that about 40% of the county is considered senior. With the state, that's age 60 and above. A lot of organizations use 65. But still, when we look at, you know, so the living wage thing is not, you know, so much, you know, affecting them. But for anybody trying to find housing, and it's definitely a big problem. How do we encourage new businesses to come in if they don't have, you know, a housing component that's going to help them? Now, sometimes we can condition, you know, put a condition on there that they provide housing for their workforce. And other times, we just need to open up the housing more. ADUs was something that was discussed, and accessory dwelling units, for those that don't know the term. It hasn't taken off that much. We just discussed it at the board level yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the problem is there is that the construction costs have gone up so much that it's not very viable for people to build one and make it economically viable. Now, that's if they're going to rent it. You know, they also do it for in-law quarters or other family members. So some of the contractors, you know, have difficulty, you know, with the living wage, or you also talk about prevailing wages on certain projects. Makes it difficult for them, you know, to be able to pay that amount. So that affects, obviously, their bidding on a project. And that can, you know, we absolutely... Throughout the workforce, when you've got employees at Taco Bell making more than county employees in positions, you know, that it's just, we've got to do something about it. We can't, the state has been taking some actions. It's going to affect the county, the city, all jurisdictions, really, in that, you know, they're saying if you work in a medical field, you know, you're going to have to pay them so much per hour, and you know, that gets really difficult. You know, you got to look at it from the business perspective, what they can afford to pay.
So what can we do to attract more businesses here then? What is the county board's role, do you think, in doing that?
You know, so the businesses, I mean, developments, you know, definitely we're doing revisions to what's called Title 17. And we looked at the housing element, got a little bit of a review just at the board meeting. And so if there's things that we can do to make it easier, you know, for the developers and contractors to do business with the county, including permitting and what have you, I hear all too often people are waiting, you know, too long to get inspections. Getting PG&E to bring power has been a big problem to sites.
Yeah. And also one of the issues too is water. We have enough water for new places.
Absolutely. And there's efforts that are being, you know, discussed there. We do have an economic development employee, Robbie Bergstrom, is doing wonderful work. He's really taken traction, and he's meeting with a lot of different groups. And this isn't all just a county thing, right? You know,
right.
You can say the county can do things and try to be proactive to assist, but we truly have to work together with, you know, the developers, you know, your contractors, certainly with the realtors, and just the business community through the chambers, you know, because bringing in businesses, you got to have a plot of land. And you mentioned water, you know, you have to have the infrastructure, you know, for any projects. And so there's discussion about getting, you know, new sources of water from New Maloney's at a deeper level in the dam so that we would have a reliable source. But the cost to get the water is, you know, could be pretty tremendous.
Yeah. In terms of looking ahead to the next year, the last year of your term, what are some of the issues that you want the board to take up or do you want to continue working on?
You know, like I said, we're going to have the board, you know, goal setting, you know, coming up in January, and that's going to give us, consensus amongst the board to, you know, come up with a list. We have a desire to have it a little bit tighter list this time. I personally feel that we need to have achievable items on that list. I understand legislation is good, and we can be more proactive there, but generally that's at least a two-year process to bring a bill around, you know, with support of other counties. I'm going to be board chair this next year. I really want to, you know, there's been a lot of strife, you know, coming out, you know, from the federal level with elections coming up and a lot of discussions. I hope that that doesn't have an impact on our board meetings. I, you know, hope that people maintain their decorum and, you know, be nice, as Supervisor Half would say, be kind. And that's important. And I'm known for being a more moderate voice on the board, and I certainly intend to keep that. I might have to be a little firmer as chair at times, so.
Are you feeling optimistic for the year ahead?
I am. I'm seeing, you know, some projects that the county's already approved are going to result in increased funding, you know, for the county, especially when you have a larger hotel type of project, you know, because of the TOT funds, and we can put some conditions there as well. So we're still a couple of years out, and, you know, some of them will start coming, you know, in 2024, but then we're looking 25, 26. So that's going to help, and the county's quite interested in taking another fresh look at a sales tax measure to see where we can go in funding so that we can get the proper operational dollars to get out of having to rely on grants so much. Grants are wonderful, but they're a bit to manage.
Now, obviously, we could go on talking for hours, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. And so we want to thank you, District 1, Tuolumne County Supervisor David Goldenberg, for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. And I just wanted to, you know, wish all the listeners out a very happy holiday season.
And that reminds me of a programming note. We will not be airing Motherlode Views over the Christmas or New Year's holiday, but you can join us right back here after that for the rest of the Tuolumne County Supervisors series. Thanks for joining us and happy holidays.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.